Hi, everybody. This is Joe Hu. This is the Joe Hu Hour here on BBS Radio. I hope everyone is doing well and fine, and I hope you are having a good time. I know that here in the Chicagoland area, it's been a beautiful day. There's some questions I want to ask you anyway as we go on. But anyway, Joe Hu is a voice natural direct sensitive. What's that? What's the form of intuition? When I hear a person's voice, I start to see things behind my eyes, past, present, future. I've been doing it my entire life. In fact, I was voted number one in Chicago by the Fox Network and one of the top 25 in the world. I have no idea I even got on that list, by the way. So, anyway, so when you call in tonight, all I need to do is hear your first name only and the month of your birth. And of course, I may ask you where you're calling from, because it's always kind of neat. You know, I'm calling from Vancouver, or I'm calling from New York, or I'm calling from wherever. It's just nice to know. And so that's all there is to it. And our call-in numbers are, for the people in the United States, 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And for our friends in Canada, the number there, the toll-free number, is 1-888-810-8322. Once again, that's 1-888-810-8322. I want to tell you that, of course, we're living in very interesting times, don't you think? Gosh, there's people on the left, people on the right, people in the middle, people above us, people below us. It's almost like you don't know who to believe anymore. And I know there's a lot of intuitive people out there. And you ever notice sometimes when you hear a person speak, you know, what they're saying and what you're picking up is not usually the same thing? That's rare today when someone speaks, especially in the political arena. You know, it's like, I don't even know what to call it. It's not even double talk. I'm not even sure what you call it. But it's pretty interesting. So we have to kind of do the research and look behind things, you know, and really, really get more involved. You know, this is our country and this is our land. And, of course, you know, freedom is a great thing. And right now the world hates us, at least that's what we hear. And if they hate us so much, why does everybody want to come here? I was always curious about that. Anyway, we're all spiritual beings, and we're here to witness something. There's an unprecedented 6 billion souls on the planet, maybe it's more than that. But we're here to witness something, and we're living in very interesting times. You know, this planet Earth is a level 4 planet. Now, you know, you're always taught, most of us are taught anyway, that you live, you die, you go to heaven or hell, and if you're Catholic, purgatory or limbo. But they don't have limbo anymore. I think they got a memo from God, so there is no more limbo. But if you really think about it, you know, do you think one lifetime is going to give you enough ability and enough knowledge to sit before the center? I think that's kind of arrogant thinking. Don't you think it's a little bit vain? So getting to the center is a working process. Just getting to God is a working process. One lifetime doesn't do it. You see? So it'd be like having your kindergartner and try to put him in high school, or try to give him a college curriculum. Not going to learn anything. He's 5 or 6 years old. So your soul learns too. And, you know, and the people that come to this place are, I consider them mighty spiritual beings. You know, we thought we could handle anything. And once we get here, we go, boy, this is a lot harder than I thought. Well, yeah, it is. And you know that in this life, we'll walk many paths, and some lead home and some don't. That's just part of being, you know, we're spiritual beings trying to understand what it's like to be human. And I think that's very, very interesting. So, and understand that our path is remarkable. I mean, it's an amazing journey that we go through. You know, and understand that once you pass on, you know, of course you move on. You keep going. Hi, caller. Can I have your first name?
Yes, Nathan.
Say it again, please.
Nathan.
Maitland?
Nathan. Nate.
Oh, Nathan. And the month of your birth?
March.
And where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from New Jersey.
Oh, okay. How's the weather in Jersey?
It's beautiful.
You're too in Chicago. Hey, Nathan, you're an old soul. That means you're very emotional. You're very creative, you know, but you have to understand some things about old. And I see people, by the way, in two basic categories. I classify people as younger souls and older souls. And Nathan, you're an older soul. You're emotional. You're creative. You're temperamental, you know, because your emotions are going to run the whole gamut. On a scale of 1 to 10, they're going to be all over the place. That's just the way old souls are. Do you ever notice that sometimes you're excited about something this week and you could be bored next week? Yeah, and it's hard to find new things. They have a hard time finding things to do because they've done so many things before. Now, always remember this, though. In life, your strongest abilities are always going to be on the creative side.
Okay.
You understand what that means?
Yeah.
Anything that allows you creativity. You know, it could be the sciences, you know, anything. You're good with your hands if you want to be. You know, but the thing is, I think you're a little bit too self-conscious, and then don't worry about that.
Okay.
You know, everybody's the same. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all the same.
All
right. Do you have a question?
Yes. Yeah, I wonder if And if I were to ever meet someone that I can get, like, you know, relationship with, like.
Well, okay, you're looking for a relationship, you said?
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
A good person to be in a relationship with? All right. You have to understand that that everybody has different cycles, okay? The highest cycle for you to be able to get into a relationship is going to be more toward the fall, okay? But the thing is, sometimes I think you're so self-conscious, you have a hard time approaching people.
Yeah, I do.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, 43.
What is it?
43.
Okay. So I think you got to kind of calm down and relax a little bit. You know, you're a little bit shy, but the most important thing is you're self-conscious. And that just, you know, all that does is hold you back.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, but it's usually, for you, it's going to be in the fall months. So September, October, those are your strongest months to, you know, try and meet somebody. But the thing is, it doesn't mean you can't do it now. You just have to get out and, you know, and try to talk to people. But I think, like I said, you're shy and you're self-conscious. And trust me, don't let that get to you because, like I said, we're all the same. You know, I mean, people with money, you know, let's say you have a rich person, doesn't mean they're better than you. A poor person doesn't mean you're better than them.
Yeah.
You know, we're all here for a reason. We're all here on our own little discoveries and our own little lessons. The one thing you have to do is go forward. You all right?
All right.
All right, you take care.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you see, so basically that's true. You know, classes, you know, there may be social classes. But, you know, well, yes, I'm upper class, I'm middle class, I'm lower class, whatever. You know, all the money you have and all the things you don't have doesn't make you different or better than one person or the other. And I've always had a hard time with that. People who think because they have something or they don't have something, they're going to be better than the other person. Please, that's not true. Okay? You'll have different people in life that are good at certain things, you know. I mean, just like doctors or any kind of profession. You have good lawyers, bad lawyers. Good doctors, bad lawyers, you know. I mean, bad doctors. But, you know, but as human beings, as entities, we're basically all the same. Are there higher level entities here? Well, yeah. You know, the older souls tend to be a little bit more evolved, but they're evolved in a different way. You know, older souls had to start out as younger souls, and younger souls work to be older souls. However, you're here to fulfill a lesson. You know, when you come online, you know, you have a lesson. You're given a lesson by the center, by God gives you a lesson. And no one, there's really no intuitive that can tell you what your lesson is. Maybe little bits and pieces, but that would be kind of like be cheating, you know? So you're given free will. So you're allowed, you know, children pick their parents, you set up a game board, you know, and you're given a lesson, and you set up your game board and how to get through it. And then, you know, you try to get through it as best you can, but because the greatest gift the center gave us is free will, so there's all these free will choices. And then let's say you go through your lifetime here, and all of a sudden you pass on, and you sit there and go, my gosh, I never thought that was going to happen. I didn't figure on that one. You know, and well, you get your grade. Did you do it? No. Well, then you got to come back and do it again. You see, and it's a very interesting thing. And there's something I find that's remarkably sad. You know, there are people out there who commit suicide. And regardless of how you commit suicide, you know, sometimes there's this thing now they call it murder by police, where they, you know, want the cops to shoot them. Which I could never understand. But let's say you're here and you're going to live a certain length of time. And let's say that you decide to end it, you know, maybe 10 years sooner than you were going to anyway. We were supposed to anyway. Well, for that next 10 years, you're going to relive your passing. But you're not just going to only relive it through your own eyes. You're going to see it through all the eyes of the people that were affected by it. And after 10 years, you come back and do it again. So I don't advise that. Now, there are certain extenuating circumstances. I understand that. And, of course, you know, the ultimate decision is obviously not mine or yours, but it would have to be the center's. So, you know, you have to understand, you know, this is a remarkable gift we have, being human. And also, you know, humans have souls. Not even angels have souls. They're seraphim. You know, I mean, animals have their own life force. A lady asked me if dogs have souls. Well, yeah, dogs have their own type of life force. I had a lady email me saying, is there any way I can communicate with my dog? My dog passed away. And in all the experiences and all the years I've done this, usually when a dog passes on or a loved pet passes on, any type of communication they would have with you would be indirect. All right? In other words, let's say something that was familiar about the dog. Oh, my dog always loved to chase butterflies. And your puppy passed away, you know, and all of a sudden you'd be in the kitchen window and there'd be butterflies by the window. Or my dog was really a barker, and one time maybe you'll think you hear the dog bark. Well, they definitely can let you know they're okay, but it doesn't last a long time. It's not a continual process, all right? They usually do it right when they make the transition, shortly after that, within probably 30 days. But the most amazing thing is you say sometimes, well, you know, sometimes I feel my dog or I feel my loved pet around me. Well, that's you extending your energy to them, you see. And I also believe that pets can reincarnate too. And I can tell you an interesting story. I had an Afghan hound. And by the way, I love dogs. I love cats, but I'm really into dogs. And all the animals that I've had have always come to me. In other words, I didn't go to a pet shop. They were either rescued or someone. They all come to me. And I had an Afghan hound named Zachariah. And you see these beautiful Afghan hounds in the shows, you know, and their hair is all slicked down. Well, trust me, I didn't do that. I mean, I kept Zach clean, and I brushed his hair, and he kind of had really puffy hair. Kind of looked like I don't know what he looked like. People didn't know what he was, but he was a great, interesting dog. He wasn't feisty like other Afghans. If you gave him food, he would never wolf the food. He would take it, sniff it, taste it, spit it out, decide if he wanted it or not. He was a very, very picky eater. And he learned to smile. I never taught him that. Well, I had Zach for about 10 years, and Zach passed away. About 4 years after that, someone called me, and my sister's friend worked at a pet shop, and they had sheepdogs on consignment from the breeder. Well, some lady wanted to see his little sheepdog puppy, and her son wanted to see it, and he accidentally dropped the puppy and broke its leg. And so the pet shop called the breeder, and they said, well, put the dog down and send me back the AKC papers. Well, these girls didn't have the heart to do that. I mean, they're beautiful puppies. So this one girl called my sister, and my sister said, don't, I'll find a home for it. My brother Joey will take it. So my sister calls me. I said, yeah, don't, I'll find a home for it. So I went to my sister's house, and here's this little puppy. He had his leg bandaged up. They took it to a vet, and the vet said it was a T fracture in the elbow, and she'd probably be crippled for the rest of her life. And I go to my sister, and I'll run this little dog as happy as can be with one leg bandaged up with one of those, elastic bandages, you know, those brown things they wrap you up with to kind of hold your, you know, muscles and stuff. And I fell in love with her, and it was a female. I fell in love with her. So I took her home, and I was going to take her to a vet that I knew that was very good, and I was speeding a little bit on the highway. This is a true story. And so the cop pulls me over for speeding. I go, oh, gosh, I'm speeding. And he saw the dog, you know, next to me with a bandage. And he looked at me. He looked at the dog. He says, why are you speeding? I said, I'm trying to get my dog to a veterinary hospital, you know. And he says, I'll be right back. Anyway, he wrote me a warning. He says, you're a pet lover. I'm letting you go this time. So he says, don't speed. I said, okay. So I got her to a vet, and he said that same thing, that she'd probably be crippled. And there's a gentleman in Chicago, his name is Dr. Gendreau, who is a remarkable orthopedic surgeon. And he actually basically volunteered his services, and he operated on her for about 3 hours, and she was fine. And I had her for 16 years and 4 months, you know. The most amazing thing is she had the same habits Zachariah had, my other dog. She was a very picky eater. And one day she started smiling. She had a lot, and the same mannerism. I had this really funny feeling inside me. And saying, I looked at her one time and says, who are you really? And she smiled at me. So when she wasn't paying attention, I said, Zach. And she turned her head and looked at me. And I just had the strongest feeling that was Zach come back to me. So yes, it happens in animals too. It's remarkable. I mean, the spiritual world is remarkable. And we can't lose touch of the physical world either. I mean, obviously we have to live here as humans, and we have to try and figure things out. Our call-in numbers tonight are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And for our friends in Canada, the toll-free numbers are 1-888-810-8322. Okay? Also, I have a website which is just johoo.com. It's all one word, JOEWHO.com. I'll tell you another interesting story. My cousin Debbie, you know, I've got my one aunt has, she had three daughters, and Debbie was the oldest daughter. And my cousin Debbie was very close to my grandfather. And one day she found a pigeon, and she was living in Chicago, and the pigeon was kind of sick, you know. And so my grandpa says, oh, you know, Debbie, give me the pigeon. I'll take care of it for you. She says, no, Grandpa, you're going to eat it. I'll tell you the rest of the story in a minute. Just hang on there. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Fine. May I have your first name, please?
Yes, Kat with a K.
And the month of your birth only?
Oh, November.
And where are you calling from, Kat?
New York.
Okay. You're a very independent personality. You're very stubborn. You're very cut and dry. It's not because from your New York. It's because you're a younger soul. Younger souls are people that take care of business. In other words, you would say something, don't tell me you're going to do it and not do it. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't like people that would say they're going to do something and not do it. Because if someone asks you to do something, you'll do it. If you don't want to do it, you have no problem saying no. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful because as strong as you are, you have to be, the only thing you can be fooled with is affairs of the heart. You can be fooled with relationships. You have to be careful about that.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because as strong as you are, people that would come on to you or be in a relationship with you, you would think that they were strong, but the opposite takes place is where you're actually the stronger one and you wind up being more of a parent than a partner. That's a potential that younger souls have to be careful about because they're so strong, they get things done, they're very reliable.
Okay.
And you fit that mold too.
What was that?
You fit that mold too.
Okay.
Okay, do you have a question?
Yes, as far as either work, career, future.
What do you do now?
Excuse me?
What do you do now?
Kind of in limbo. How's that? I'm kind of all over the place.
All right, well, listen, you wouldn't be good in customer service.
Okay.
I'll tell you that right now. All right?
That's
because
shocking,
you're independent,
actually.
The strongest roles for you to be would be in some type of supervisory, a forelady, managerial, things like that.
Okay.
Those are going to be your strongest issues because you get things done.
Okay.
Now, analytically, you have no problem. But if you make your career personal, you make it a personal issue, it's going to cause you problems. And younger souls don't usually do that. They keep they definitely keep their career separate from their personal life and their personal side. All right.
Okay.
The interesting thing is you're intelligent, but you don't have patience. So schooling for you was not that it was difficult, but it was, just you could think of better things to do.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're the first person ever, though, to tell me about not customer service because I am so customer service orientated.
I know that, but that's not your forte. Your forte is getting things done. Your forte is directing. You could direct people very well. You can manage a group with no problem.
Okay.
You're cutting yourself short.
Okay, true.
Okay, now understand, old souls make good salespersons and they make good customer service because old souls can talk a bird out of a tree. Younger souls would be the people that take care of the business that the old souls do. Do you understand?
Okay.
So I think you're cutting yourself short on customer service.
Okay. You see, I would be terrible at sales because that's just not my thing.
That's right. I said that. No, absolutely not. You could run the group of salespeople.
Right.
In other words, you could run the department.
Right.
That's what you have to look for. You have to look for something that allows you the ability to move forward in the company to a managerial position.
Okay.
Because that's always going to be your best point. Younger souls have the ability to bring a lot of money to them through their expertise as far as their analytical sides.
Okay. So
okay.
Go that way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
You would have been a good lawyer. You
True.
Been, no, serious. You would have been a good litigator.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. However, schooling was not
But just let the audience know, part of the reason what was going on personally in your family at the time.
Oh, God, I don't even know what was going on in my family at the time.
Yeah.
Just schooling just was not, I could bend a lot of things, and even now to this day, I know that I could, if you put me in that job, I could do that job. I just don't have the, certification and the documentation.
Oh, the degree, right. But there are companies, and there are quite a few of those companies that they'll recognize your talents,
mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to look forward to. And the reason why I said no, you said I didn't know what was going on in my family. I said during those school years,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of things going on in your family, in your life, that kind of kept you from focusing.
Oh.
Plus the fact that you wanted to go out and play anyway.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said the last part.
I said you wanted to go out and play anyway. School was boring to you.
Yeah, school just didn't do it for me. Definitely
right.
Not. But
if you ever tested your intelligence, your intelligence would come back very high. Your testing would come back high.
Well, thank you.
All
okay.
Right.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Of a caller, sometimes when I'm talking to you, I hear my voice coming back to me. So, please bear with me a little bit. Anyway, our call-in numbers are 877-876-5227 in the United States, and in Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322. Now, getting back to the story. So my little cousin had found this pigeon, and my grandpa says, Debbie, give me the pigeon. I'll take everything. And she said, no, Grandpa, you're going to eat it. And it was kind of funny. By the way, Squab is pigeon, by the way, in the restaurant. And he wasn't. And, he was afraid she was going to get sick, and of course the pigeon died. And my cousin Debbie always thought that he ate the pigeon. It got to be kind of a joke in the family. And of course he didn't. And the pigeon was sick and it died. Well, as Debbie got older, she was engaged to be married, and my grandfather was very close to Debbie, passed away, and it was kind of sad, because you didn't get to see her wedding in one way, but another way he did. My cousin got married in a Catholic church in Chicago that's on the historical marker for one of the longest aisles of this church, and it was a Catholic wedding. And it was on a Sunday afternoon, or early afternoon, and they had rolled out this white carpet that goes out from the stairs up the altar, you know, down the aisle and up into the altar. And, of course, his family was on one side of the church, and our family was on the other side of the church, and, you know, in the pews. And as they're giving the ceremony, all of a sudden, both doors were open because it was a very warm summer day, and up into the stairs on these huge double doors of this cathedral is this pigeon. This pigeon walks up the stairs and is walking right down the middle of the aisle on the white carpet they put down or whatever that is that they walk on. And I remember the other family, one of the other, you know, the groom's family was going to get up and try and shoo it out, and we all stood up and said, no, 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 leave it alone, leave it alone. And, of course, you know, my cousin Debbie heard the ruckus, but she couldn't turn around because the priest was talking, you know. And we're watching this pigeon. We have this on film, by the way, on video. We watched this pigeon walk halfway up this long aisle in this church. Stopped, looked at them, turned around, walked out, walked down the stairs, and flew away. And, of course, our family said that had to be Grandpa. And, by the way, not once did the pigeon leave a little gift on that white carpet. Never happened. And flew away. Now, what could be coincidence? Possibly, but I doubt it. For the fact that it walked up there, it didn't go flying around the church. It was a big cathedral. And it stood where halfway, it got halfway up the aisle, and it kind of stood looking forward. And I was right mounted about three people in from the you know, the aisle pew, and I'm watching. And then the pigeon turned around, and I knew it right away. God, that had to be Grandpa. And then when the pigeon walked out, walked down the stairs, and then out to the sidewalk and toward the street, and then flew away. So sure, a lot of times when loved ones pass, they let us know they're okay, and you can ask them. Usually it takes a little bit of a transition, you know, 7 to 10 days. But, you know, every evening after that, if you want to know if they're okay, just say out loud when you go to sleep at night, hey, Jimmy, if you're okay, hey, Sally, if you're okay, let me know. You know, and because when we mourn for ourselves because, you know, they're okay. We're the ones that are missing them. And you'll see them again. People you know now, you've always known before. Souls tend to stay together just like friendships do. And you can, this happens to everybody. You know, you can be, let's say you go to a party. You got invited to a party, and you went to a party. There's a whole bunch of people you don't know, and some people you do know. It doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, there's one person that, for some reason, you seem to be attracted to. And I don't necessarily mean in a physical way or an attractive way. Just a person that has vibes, and you start talking to them. Something brings you forward to them, and all of a sudden, you know, start talking and becoming friendly. And so that's where you tend to be attracted to that person. And like I said, not for necessarily physical attributes. And then, let's say you're at the same party, and there's someone that, you know, that you just, for some reason, have no interest in going near or talking to. You feel repelled by them, not based in any physical attributes. You see? That's your own intuition. That's your own psyche telling you about these people. Now, the ones that are familiar to you and that feel comfortable about, but those are people you've possibly known, most likely have known before. And a lot of these times, these people work into friendships. The one person that you're repelled by, who you just won't have nothing to do with, that could be a past life memory of someone of an entity that wasn't, you know, a spiritual being that was not your friend or had problems with in a past life. So, you know, that's why I say people you know now, you've known before. Souls tend to stick together. It's an amazing place we live in. It's an amazing journey we make. You know, it's remarkably complex. Look how complex the Earth is. Look how complex all the things going on this planet are. You know, you've got one guy shouting out global warming, it's man-made, it's man-made. You know what? If they told you all the facts, you'd find out something quite differently. You know, I mean, you can do the research. You don't have to believe me. But, you know, the planets have been warming up also. The ice caps on Mars, and yes, Mars does have ice caps, in the past 2.5 years have melted over 10 feet. We are not a static planet. Earth is alive. Our planet is alive. If it wasn't alive, we wouldn't be here. So these are cycles that happen. You know, it's interesting. What's causing it? Is the sun? It's cyclic? I don't know. But it's definitely not man. In fact, if you look do research, man's impact is less than 0.007 degree increase. Of course, they can tell you that's not true, but there's a lot of scientists now coming forward finally saying, hey, this is not right. This is not true. You know, we had the climactic optimum and the climactic minimum. And you look those up and you'll see what I'm talking about. But that's not the point. The point I'm making is we're given all this information in our daily lives. Some of it's real, some of it's lies, some of it's in the middle. you know? And what makes you decide if you're going to believe it or not? Your own discernment? Or if you blatantly listen to it, it's got to be true. I heard it on the news or I read it in the newspaper. That's not necessarily the facts. What you need to do is use your own ability to discern. And you're giving two tools. You're giving your spiritual intuitive side, and you're giving your ability to look more on the analytical side, you know, and do the research. You know, but we're always taught in life that if we can't feel it, taste it, smell it, or touch it, it's not real. Well, that's a big bunch of moose poop. That's not real. We're spiritual beings. Understand that. Understand because of that, we have certain abilities. And trust me, there are forces out there that want nothing better than ever come in contact with those abilities. You see? Now, you hear a lot of people talking about the Mayan prophecies of the year 2012, or what's going to happen, you know, in 2012. I'm going to cough. Excuse me for a minute. Excuse me. 2012. And nobody really knows. Some people think, well, it's going to be the end of the world, the end days, which, by the way, I do not see. Other people believe that it's going to be a change in paradigm or a shift in humanity. And I think that's what it's going to be more than anything. It's going to be a spiritual shift. And I think it's going to be pretty remarkable when it happens. It won't be all at once. It won't be like something slapping you in the face. But you'll see the ball start to roll. So I think this is all part of the cycles that we go through, and the cycles that this planet Earth goes through. You know, there are 12 levels to get to the center. This planet Earth is a level 4 planet. There are other level 4 planets in the universe. Okay? But once you choose a level 4 planet to go to, that's the planet you stay. Can you reincarnate in other planets? No. Accidentally, it's happened. I mean, there's things that have happened. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Brian Weiss, who wrote the book Many Lives, Many Masters. And I had interviewed him one time, and I asked him if in any of his past life regressions, if he ever, you know, had someone that was from another, let's say, planet. And he's done hundreds of these. And Dr. Weiss says there was only one time where there was a, I would imagine, an entity or a person from another planet that came to this world or crashed on this world or did something and got involved in what he called the karmic cycle on this planet, and they were stuck here for some time. And he said he was quite amazed at that one. And he said that was the only case he ever saw of that. So I find that interesting. So usually, you know, most 95, 99% of the time, the planet that you've chosen as your level 4 planet is the one you'll stay with. And there are, like I said, 12 levels to get to the center. And this is level 4 on a journey of 12. And and lessons don't necessarily get easier. They're going to get harder. You know, you have to have the knowledge to be able to make the end. It's like these reality shows, you know. Boy, this is true reality shows. So it's remarkable. It's remarkable, the things that we go through. Again, our call-in numbers are 1-877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 for the United States. And our friends in Canada, it is 1-888-810-8322. Another thing I've been noticing, too. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. Did you know that, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard the story right now, the honeybees are disappearing, and no one knows why. Of course, there's all these theories, all these things that are going on, and no one really understands why. There's some interesting theories put forth, but is it a cycle? Possibly. Hi, caller, you're on with Joe.
Hi.
Hi, can I have your first name, please?
Listinia.
What is it?
Listinia.
Listinia?
Yes.
What an unusual name. And the month only of your birth?
August.
August?
Yes.
And where are you calling from?
New York.
Okay. Listinia, that's an amazing name. I've talked to thousands of people in my life. I've never heard anyone with the name Listinia.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
You're another person who is extremely independent, okay? Interesting right now, Listinia, you're packing and unpacking boxes right now, okay? Whenever I see anyone doing that, that always means transition. That always means change. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's a loaded question, Listinia. Who do you trust?
Very few.
That's right. You don't have a wall around you. You have a fence. All right? And it takes you a long time to bring people close to you. In fact, sometimes you'll play push me, pull me. Sometimes you'll bring them close. You get a little bit, you know, leery about something and you push them away. So
yes.
It takes you a long, long time for you to bring someone into your circle.
Correct.
Once you do, once you've decided to do that, well, they're there forever, you know, until they're in. But getting in is not an easy process. Okay, and that's based in history. That's learned behavior. Gee, where did you learn that?
I guess growing up.
That's right, growing up. And trust me, you're young now, you know. But yeah, that's right, growing up. Things you've seen, things that have happened to you. So you're very good at you're very good at knowing where everything is at any one time. At least that's what you try to do that. Okay?
Yes, I do.
So personal issues and relationships are based on trust issues, and it's got to be extremely important to you. You have a question?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. I feel stuck in my life. I don't know if it's the fact that I'm living in New York and I really don't want to be here, or...
Where would you rather be?
I'm originally from New Orleans, and so I thought about going back.
Where in New Orleans?
In New Orleans, New Orleans.
No, I mean, where? No, but where in New Orleans?
Metairie.
Like Shreveport or...
No, I'm sorry, New Orleans.
I'm sorry. You're right. I thought you said Louisiana. Okay. No, you're not going to go back there. If you're going to make a change, you have to make a change that's new and different.
Okay.
Okay? So you have to think about that. First of all, two things you have to consider. You know, the weather, if you want to be in warm weather or if you enjoy the season.
Warm water.
I can tell you places that would not be good for you.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay. Florida would not be good for you. All right? Vermont and Maine and Connecticut would not be good for you. The Midwest would be okay for you. The West Coast, only in the southern West Coast would be okay for you, would be good for you. Parts of Georgia would be good for you. Obviously, New Orleans, that now is time has gone by. Going back there would not be productive for you.
Okay. I used to live in Atlanta, actually.
Atlanta wouldn't be bad at all, actually. In fact, of all the places you've discussed, Atlanta would probably be choice number two. I'm sorry, number one.
Okay.
Okay. Wisconsin, no. Chicago, nah, not really.
Too cold.
Yeah, I know. You know, but Atlanta would be very, very good for you. Mississippi, not good. Alabama, not good.
Okay.
Okay. In Europe, believe it or not, if you went to Europe, it would be either Germany or Italy.
As far as good?
Yeah. Yeah, but you need to make the change. You know why you have hesitated to do that?
Why?
Because, number one, you're afraid. Number two, making that move for you, which would probably be a great discovery, would probably be the best thing for you. You know what I suggest you do? I think that if you can, you know, like you used to live in, you said you used to live in Atlanta?
Yes, I did.
How long ago was that?
6 years ago.
Okay, well, you know, it's changed a lot. I mean, there's a lot of population down there. But there's a lot of opportunity for you down there. And they don't have the severe winters that they do, like I said, in Chicago.
Right.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Ohio, Cleveland area would not be good for you either.
Ooh, I would never think of it.
Yeah. All right. So I would say Atlanta would be good. New Orleans would be just a safe haven, and it wouldn't feel the same.
Okay.
It would bore, believe it or not, it would bore you.
Okay. That could be fun. This could be true.
Yes. West Coast would be fine if it was more, you know, south of L.A.
South of L.A., okay.
Yes. New Mexico would be okay for you. New Mexico. Only a certain part of New Mexico would be okay for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada would not be good for you. You see? So you have, your choices aren't that wide, but your number one choice would be Atlanta for you. You know, and like I said, you need a change because you have to take the next step in journey. You have to go for personal fulfillment. You haven't done that.
I know. I'm trying to kind of figure out what it is that I want. There's so many things I want to study that I don't know which one to choose.
All right. Tell me the things you like.
Okay. I've considered psychology.
Okay.
I like things having to deal with art and design.
Okay.
And I like the idea of running a business. So I'd make my... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Stop right there. The first things first, being a younger soul, business and being your own boss is your number one priority. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you were a psychologist, you'd probably be very good at it, but it would eventually bore you.
Okay.
Okay? Now, if you were a commercial psychologist, that'd be a little bit different.
I never heard of that.
You know, when you see commercials on TV, I mean, commercial psychology involves a lot of different things, speech writing, even package coloring and products.
Oh.
You know, but that's all done by psychologists. Industrial psychologist. You know, what motivates people to buy things? What catches your eye? Things like that. That you'd be good at.
That sounds interesting.
That you'd be good at. You know what else you'd be good at? Forensic investigations.
I'd love that.
That's right. That for you would be totally the number one. And you could do it. You know why? Because you like things that are not, you know, you go for the unusual.
Yeah.
Okay? And stuff like that is almost like a detective. It's like living a novel. And you'd be very good at that. And you could pick up minute things. In other words, things other people would miss, you'd catch.
What about forensic psychology?
Well, forensic psychology you could do, but anything with the forensic sciences, you know. But the that'd be absolutely the forensic psychology. That's good. Anything to do with that. But understanding what how it works or how something was done or what was missed, you'd be that's probably your forte.
Okay.
Did you put a lot of jigsaw puzzles together when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm trying to understand why this is in you, and now I know why.
I still do it now.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the patience for it. I mean, I don't. I really don't. It makes me nervous. You know. So, you see, so that's, it's right in there. You know it. You know it already. And I just brought it to light. Now you can do it. Absolutely do it. There's nothing stopping you but you.
I know. I just can't take that first step. And I'm a very adventurous person.
You know, listen. All right, you look at. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a little story.
Okay.
You could try and take a big step and never do it and say, well, at least I tried. No, that's a very safe statement. It's also a reason for not moving forward. You take little steps toward it. Do a little research. How could you start getting into it? What do you look into? You know? You're good at investigations. You'd be a great detective, believe it or not.
That's cross my mind.
Yeah, you're good in all those things.
But what about, like, fulfilling the creative
and you would
part?
Listen to me. You wouldn't be afraid to shoot a gun either.
No, I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't. Not because you're living in New York. It's just you.
No, I know.
And New York hasn't been the best place for you.
No, I feel very...
You know, there's a lot of people around you, but there's a lot of loneliness around you.
Yeah.
I know. You're a good lady.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, but listen, don't hold yourself back. Come on.
But what about...
I don't want to ask how old you are. I'm going to tell you one thing.
Okay.
I've been a psychic my whole life, okay? My mother and father from Europe. I mean, I have degrees in music. I have degrees in robotic engineering. I used to work for the Defense Department in top secret military projects, believe it or not.
Wow.
Okay? I know. But this is something I always did. I mean, it was totally by accident I ever wound up on a radio show. And that was when I was 35 years old, and I'm a lot older than that now. See, so it's like something said, pick me up and said, this is what you're going to do, you idiot, you know?
Well, I need a sign like that.
You have it. You know, you need a sign like that?
Yeah, I need
Are
a sign.
Serious? Wait a minute,
I'm going to
make you a deal. I'm going to make you a deal.
Okay.
Are you waiting for a sign?
Say that again?
Are you waiting for a sign?
Yes, I am.
All right, listen carefully to me. You will have your sign before this time next week.
Okay.
Now, just be open to it. In other words, don't think about it. Just be aware. You know how they say, if you look, you never find?
Correct.
Just be aware. Remember, what you think, say, and do affects your reality. If you think negative, you're going to bring negative. If you think positive, you're going to bring positive. The universe knows one thing. Yes. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Yes. I'm going to do it. Yes. I'm a bad person. Yes. You see? Free will reigns. And the thing is, it's not that you're unsure of yourself. I think it's taking a step forward, you know. And don't give me the safety factor, because you're not safe where you're at now, are you? And I mean emotionally safe.
I guess no.
You're emotionally cloistered where you're at.
Yeah, I run an office and I'm basically by myself running it.
Yep. You know, and Affairs of the Heart for you have had interesting results too.
Yeah, they've been up and down.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
if I
take a step forward, will I be leaving any relationships behind?
Oh yeah, you've got to leave someone behind. Absolutely.
I mean the most significant one.
No, because no, you can't use that as a gauge. You can't use that as a gauge.
Okay.
Mhm. Think about that. Think about the implications when you said the most significant one.
Oh, not too much to think about.
Yeah, okay. All right. What's the person's name?
Carl.
What is it?
Carl.
And just the month of his birth?
September.
Okay, what does he do? Is he a boss, supervisor?
He is a chiropractor.
Oh, well, he's a boss.
Yeah.
He's a chiropractor.
Yes.
You know what? He can open his practice anywhere.
What's that?
He can open his practice anywhere.
Yes, I know.
Okay? That's not an issue for him.
Okay.
The issue between you and him is different than that. You're both strong.
I know. It's like two bulls at each other.
What?
It's like two rams going at each other.
I just said that. I said it could be problematic. He's got to do his thing, and you have to do your thing.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're always going to feel, you're never going to feel fulfilled. Okay?
All right.
Now remember, by this time next week, just be open to it.
I will be open to it.
Try not to get angry.
Oh, I can't help. I need anger management.
Try not to get angry. There's a reason why I'm telling you that. Okay?
Okay.
Try not to get angry. If someone tries to get your goat, just smile and walk away.
Okay.
That's, you know, because that actually renders that argument harmless.
Okay.
Are you finished? Okay. Smile and walk away. It might go against your gut, but do it anyway.
Right.
Okay?
All right.
You take care.
Thank you so much. You take
care,
too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, oh, by the way, my website is johu.com.
Johu.com.
It's all one word, johu.com. You can click on there. There's a lot of information about me and other shows that I've done you can listen to, too.
Cool. Also, thanks so much.
You can listen to the archives here at BBS Radio, too, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, now there's a classic example. She's a very strong woman. She can do whatever she wants. She puts her mind to it. But she's got all this input. And the emotional side is the side she has a hard time dealing with. The analytical side, no problem. And right now, the emotional side is ruling her when it shouldn't be. Okay? It's there. It's going to be there. It's normal, you know. But she has to use the abilities that she has, which is her brain power, her independence, and her ability to get things done. You know, I've talked to so many people, and it's funny. You know, I've heard the same stories, but what makes it unique, you know, is your world. It's your own little world, and there's so many little nuances there. You know, it's just remarkable. It's just unbelievable. And as we go on this journey, it's amazing. And if you go forward with fear, you know, and trepidation, it's going to be hard. You have to take things as they come. Now, of course, we're going to have, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be pain, you know, there's going to be laughter. You know, to be a well-rounded human being, you have to feel all the emotions. You have to feel them all, you know. You can't just feel one all the time. Feel one all the time is a problem. You know, if you go around laughing 24 hours a day, there's something wrong. If you go around being depressed 24/7, there's something wrong, okay? Either it's emotional or chemical or a little bit of both. See, that's the interesting thing. The spiritual side of us is different than our physical body. I always tell people, food keeps your body alive. You keep, you know, your soul keeps you alive. But there are things that happen, you know, breaking legs, falling down, getting ill, getting sick. But usually, remember, people ask for things they never intend to ask for. If you worry about something happening, you're setting up the ability to bring it to you. No, 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 no. You know, gee, if something good happens, you're going to say, yo, wow, what's the other sugar interrupt? This is too good to be true. Well, what does that mean? That means you're going to slap yourself back in and, okay, you don't deserve it then. Basically, is what you're saying. And the universe is going to say, okay, sure. Stop it. When something good happens, you say, thank you, it's about time I deserve it. And in the mirror in the morning when you're putting on your makeup, ladies, or guys, when you're combing your hair, you look in the mirror and you tell yourself, I'm a person of difference. I have as much right to be happy as anyone else. And that's true. Another little exercise I think everybody should do, you know, just like, you know, you collect, you know, let's say you're all day long, you know, you're at work or wherever you're at, you know, you're collecting things. You're collecting, you know, I mean, your clothes are collecting a little bit soil because you might have sit on a little dirty seat, or you got some ink on your hands, or you know, perspiration, whatever, okay? So you get to change your clothes, put them in the wash, and put on clean clothes the next day. Well, understand, your spiritual side also absorbs all kinds of information from other people, negativity, what have you. So when you take your shower in the evening or the morning, whenever you take your shower, you soap your, or your bath, doesn't matter, you soap yourself up, right? And when you rinse off the soap, you visualize, not imagine, you visualize in your mind's eye, as you wash off the soap, you're washing off the negativity of that day or the previous day, you see? And everyone should do that every morning or every evening, whenever you take your shower, you know? And it's just a spiritual cleansing you're giving yourself. Even if you don't think anything negative happened, doesn't mean anything. You say, I'm washing off the negativity of the day. And there's always a little bit of negativity here, a little bit of negativity there. That's a problem. But it tends to build up. So it's one of the easiest exercises you can do. Remember, I'm not saying imagining it. I'm saying visualizing it. As I wash off, you know, the soap, I'm also washing off the negativity that is of the day or of the previous day. See, because if you take your shower in the morning for the day before, it's the previous day. Take it that night is of the day. That's simple. Not a hard thing to do. It's actually relatively easy. And I think that's pretty cool. And I've been doing it for a long, long time. So because we're spiritual beings, you know, there's a lot of things that we have, a lot of the tools we have. But unfortunately, a lot of people aren't aware of the tools. That's why you have to unlearn some concepts. Of course there's a higher side to you. Of course there's a spiritual side to you. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You're still a spiritual being. You know? You understand that. And by the way, not everyone wants to go to the light. You know, there are those who have, because free will reigns, they want to go to the other side. I'm too chicken for that. I'm just, you know. In fact, when I was a kid, I used to love watching horror spooky movies. And trust me, I would go to bed and there was always a light on in my bedroom. I could never sleep in the dark. If I didn't watch a movie, I was fine. But every Saturday at night, I remember my mom would make pizzas because, you know, we'd have pizzas and we'd watch Creature Features or whatever it was that was on in Chicago. It'd be Frankenstein or the werewolf. And, oh, cool, you know, and it would scare me, but I still wanted to watch it anyway. And then that, when I go to bed at night, I'm going, okay, it's dark in here. So I'd put on a light and my mom, shut off the light. No, it's dark, you know. So even now, if I'm you know, home alone and I put on a spooky movie, which I don't do, by the way, I would have to have a light on somewhere in my house. Not that anything's going to happen. It's just, you know, exercising my imagination, I guess. But on the other side of that coin, I do know that evil exists. Some of these New Age people say, oh, we're all born in goodness and light. Well, you know what? That's not necessarily true. It has to do with what your free will wants you to be, what your free will is. In other words, not everyone wants to go to the light. There are some that tend to go the other way. About 3% of the population. You know, think about that. That's quite a few people. If you take a worldwide population, somebody said it was a little bit higher. I think at the most maybe 3.5%. But, you know, but the interesting thing is a lot of these things are in places of power and places of authority. I always tell people where goodness lies, evil hides. Hi, caller. You're on with Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. A very
good.
Spiritual girlfriend of mine told me to call and that you would start doing some readings. So just...
Yes. Let me have your first name.
Suzanne.
And just the month of your birth.
August.
And where are you calling from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Suzanne, you're a very emotional lady. It's interesting. You have a high degree of emotional side and you have a high degree of analytical side. Now, normally I would say those people are called middle souls. They're rare. But no, it's not you. You're a person who can handle pretty much anything. And you're also a good person. You're a good person that when people need problems, they need help, and you will talk to them. You're a person, you also have a high degree of intuitive side, and I think that's why a lot of people come to you. I see a lot of people talking to you.
Correct.
Okay? You have an interesting ability. You have an interesting ability to kind of put things, they can come to you with this horrible problem, and somehow you put it in a light where it makes it easier for them to deal with or for understanding. So you help them relieve the test is what you do. And you're very good at doing that. You know, you would have been a good teacher.
I am.
I thought so.
That's what I do.
I thought so.
Yes.
You know, but you're that kind of a personality, which is a rare trait. You know, and by same token, on the other side, you know, you have no problem. You have no problem giving your opinion. But the interesting about you is you can do it remarkably diplomatically. What's so funny?
You're just reading perfectly.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny. You know, they can come out, and you also have the ability to disarm a situation. Somebody come out to you and being very angry, and all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, they walk away going, what just happened here? They're totally not angry again. So you have a remarkable ability there, and I think it's something very, very good for you. And, you know, it's funny. You're quite a spiritual traveler.
Yes, I am.
I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not.
I am.
Okay. Okay. But that's how you are.
Joe?
Yes.
Can I ask a question for someone who isn't doing well in my family?
Yes, let me have a name.
Andy.
And the mother of Andy first?
Andy's born in September.
And how old is Andy?
42.
Okay, we don't know about Andy.
Andy's a wonderful young man, father of three children, and is going through something the doctors can't seem to find what it is. We thought it was depression. Perhaps he's overdosing. We don't really. No, I don't mean that he's doing that to himself. The doctors are over-medicating him. They can't seem to find what's wrong, and he's becoming detached, and we're worried.
He has. I would like him to have two things done.
Okay.
Number one, I would like him to have his parathyroid tested.
Okay.
No, not regular thyroid, but parathyroid, P-A-R-A, thyroid.
I'm writing it down, Joe.
Okay. The
yes.
reason being, it's directly responsible for calcium uptake.
Okay.
It also can mask, it can also give symptoms of depression if it's not right.
Okay.
Okay, that's one of the things.
Yeah.
The other thing, did the man ever have an EEG?
I know he's going through a series of tests right now with all those letters.
Okay. He needs an electroencephalograph, and they need to do some testing on his pituitary gland.
Pituitary?
Yes, he's got a lot of toxicity in his system, an awful lot of toxicity in his system. What does this man do for a living?
He sells cars.
He's been doing that for a long time?
I would say about 5 or 6 years. He is a CPA, but he left that to run his own car business, and he's under a lot of pressure.
I know that. Anxiety. His immune system is in high gear. Actually,
okay.
I'm sorry. It's being suppressed.
Okay.
But he definitely has some depression, by the way, but he's got such remarkable anxiety, and it's right in the pit of his stomach. This man does not sleep well.
That's exactly right.
Okay. He's got a lot of toxicity in his system, too, which is also, is he still on all his medications?
Yes, he's trying to come off some, but he is with a psychopharmacologist that, from our lay point of view, seemed to be over-medicating him, but we really don't know.
Can he travel?
Spiritually, emotionally?
No, physically.
How do you mean that? Yes, he can.
Physically.
Yes.
Where is he located?
He lives in New York. That's my home.
You know, there's a doctor I know. He's one of the tops in the country.
Okay.
And he's outside Chicago. He is a neurobiopsychiatrist.
Neurobiopsychologist?
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist,
okay. He deals specifically in biochemistry of the brain.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you his phone number. He may know someone in New York.
Okay.
He was head associate professor. He was head associate professor at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago, which is a very prestigious place. He's a great guy,
okay.
And I don't know anyone who knows more than him.
All right.
Okay. And I'll give you his phone number.
Okay.
His name is. First, let me give you his name. That would help, wouldn't it? His name is Dr. Charles.
Yes.
And his last name is spelled
H-I-L-L-L-L.
N is in Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
B-R-A-N-D, Charles Hillenbrand.
Okay.
His phone number is area code 847.
847.
437.
437.
7172.
7172.
Now, how is Andy's weight?
It had been very high, in the high 200s, and because of this, he's dropped about 25 to 30 pounds.
Okay.
But
he also needs to have a sleep study done for obstructive sleep apnea that
okay.
also causes depression
okay.
or signs of depression, but it's not depression.
Okay.
I know people that were treated for 10 years and they, for depression had nothing more than severe sleep apnea.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And are you on the air? Are we on the air, Joe, or where?
No, we're on the air. We're on the air on BBS Radio.
Oh, okay.
We're going out all over the world, I guess.
Wonderful.
You can go to my website, too, by the way. My website is real easy.
Okay.
It's just johu.com.
JoeWho.com. And Joe,
That's my picture, and that's my hair, and I don't wear a wig.
Joe, you
people think I wear a wig and dye my hair. I don't.
This is amazing, because I am a professor turned into a dean, and you've just done an amazing job.
Thank you so very much.
Anything from my
husband? You do that, and get back to me. I would love to get back to me.
I will. Bye-bye.
Because his problem is not, believe it or not, I really don't think, before you even call Dr. Hillenbrand, get those other tests first.
Okay.
And
okay. When I call again, can I ask you how my husband is, who's passed 3 years, how he's doing on the other side?
Oh, he's fine. Are you kidding me? You know what's funny? He had to check out his funeral.
He did?
Yes, they want to see how many people showed up.
Did he really?
Yes. Usually they do, too, by the way.
Do they really?
Yeah. What was the month of his birth?
He was born in April. His name
you
is
know,
Keith.
It's funny. You believe it or not, you were stronger than him.
Yes, I know that.
He was a very old soul.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of child in him.
Really?
Yeah. He held things in.
Yes,
you know,
he did.
I mean, it's really funny. He didn't really, how can I say this? He really didn't realize or come to terms with who he was inside until a very specific time in his life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was
and then what he did, You know, I think that he realized, geez, I could have done this a lot sooner.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we often wondered how he passed, but I wouldn't allow an autopsy.
No, we could talk to that. You know what? You can call my office, and on my website, we can set up an appointment. I'll tell you things that I think you should know about him.
I think that's wonderful. Thank you for
your
time. I love it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for the call. And keep doing what you're doing. Bye-bye. All right, my friends. Gosh, an hour goes by so fast. Jesus, I'm going to have to ask for another hour. Anyway, listen, I thank you. The people who called in tonight, thank you so very, very much for calling in. You know, you're all wonderful people. I love you all. I do. I love people very, very much from the bottom of my heart. I always did. If you'd like to set up an appointment with me, you can call my office. And my office phone number is area code 815-498-9065. That's 815-498-9065. Or we can do it through the web. You can go to my website, which is johu.com. It's www.johu. It's all one word, johu.com. And, of course, we'll see you right here next week, same time, on wonderful BBS Radio. Have a good evening, my friends, and I love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.